To be honest with you, I don't know if there is a better segue into coming and talking to you today than what we've just heard. There's a lot of people, a lot of families in your neighborhood, in the surrounding neighborhood, in the neighborhood of Penn Township, and the communities around us that have to hear those words. Amen? They have to hear the words, "I love you," from Jesus Himself. And we are the ones to go and do that. Amen? All right. Amen. It's good to be with you guys today. This is the second half of the doubleheader, according to me. First time I've ever been able to preach two sermons in one day. So if I fall over in a little bit, that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. This is awesome. I'm glad to be with you guys. Very encouraged to be here and be able to share with you what God is doing. We serve an awesome God. And He is making Himself known not only here at Norwin Alliance Church or Greensburg Alliance Church or Murraysville Alliance Church, but in His new church work that has started in Penn Township. I'm excited, and He is doing unbelievable things. And it's good to know that we have a family at Norwin Alliance Church who's right alongside with us. Like Pastor Doug introduced before, my name is Andy Barrett. I come from the state of Minnesota. I moved here at the end of the last year. I was here over New Year's. So if you hear a lot of the O's out and about in a boat, I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody, Minnesota or anything like that, please forgive me. That's just where I come from. but it is nice to be in Penn Township and in Western PA. And if you want to know the full gamut of my story of being here, you can either ask me or my fiance, Rachel, in the back. She lives in Washington, PA. We've known each other for a little over 2 years. And so I'm here. We're getting married in June. I'm excited about that. So it's good to be here. I like to scan the audience. I love to meet new people. So welcome. And I am very thankful that I can be with you guys this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Scripture that's been read for us today. This is where the main meat of our message is coming forward today. I'm a very plain guy. I turned 27 this week, and finally my age is catching up to my hair. I'm just glad that Rachel likes my head. You know, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to speak freely. I'm a very just plain, straightforward guy. Okay? So we're just going to kind of have a wonderful time this morning hearing from the Lord. But before I go any further, I need to ask you a favor. Okay? You ready to do something out of the ordinary? You sure? All right. I believe that this message is very, very pointed, and it has a lot of implications both for yourself, for myself, and for the church as a whole. Just so you know, the title of this message is "The Local Church is the Hope of the World." It's pretty broad, it's pretty big, but it's very true. The local church is the hope of the world. I believe that deep in my heart. And my prayer today as this message goes forward is that you'll believe that as well. But I need you to do me a favor. I need you to pray for me. Okay? I'm going to ask you to do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to pray while this message goes forward. Pray that the Holy Spirit would speak and that He would speak to yourself and speak to us as a body and that the Lord's words would go forward and not mine because it's not about me. Okay, I'm going to step aside. I want the Lord to speak to you today. So I want you to do me a favor. If you're willing to pray during the message, and all you have to do is just while the words, no, don't stop listening or, you know, those kinds of things. But just be in an attitude and a mindset of prayer that the Lord would speak. If you're willing to do that for me, will you raise your hand? All right. We're going to do a good job today. Amen. That's what I need. Amen. Hey, thank you. Thank you for 60 years. You're an inspiration to myself. I just want to thank you for that. Lord bless you. What an awesome. I just wanted to, yeah, that's cool. Amen. All right, let me pray. Lord, I just pause, and we all just pause in your presence. We acknowledge the fact that, Holy Spirit, you are here. We acknowledge the fact that you have a word to say to us today. So, Father, will you do that? Will you speak to our hearts today? Speak to our minds today? And, Father, may your will be done Lord, will you break our hearts for the communities around us that need to hear about you? Father, your love went forward, as the song says, in crimson, the color of your blood that you shed so freely for us. I pray today that you will break our hearts for those who don't know you. And I pray today that you will give us a greater sense of your calling on our lives, all of us, each individually, and especially what you would have for us to do. Lord, I step aside and I ask that you would speak. Father, I pray that your words would go forward and not my own. For this is about you and your kingdom and the advancement of that kingdom. So, Father, will you teach us something new today? And, Lord, teach us how to love you more every day of our life. I ask these things in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. 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 Well, it's good to be here. As I've been in Penn Township just a little over the last month, I've seen some interesting things occur. Now, I come from Minnesota, and number one, I love your weather. Thank you. I've also heard that it isn't reality, so we'll just live in the non-reality. How about? Sound good? It was interesting. I went to the grocery store the first week that I was here. Okay, you got to do that. You got to eat, right? And as I was walking through the produce aisle, I was looking for food that I wasn't probably going to eat. But you know how you feel guilty? You got to buy fruit and vegetables and stuff like that. You got to buy it. You know, you got to feel, I'm going to get healthy. 2 weeks later, you're throwing it in the trash. I was walking through the produce aisle, and there was a family that was walking on the left of me. And now, I didn't notice them until something interesting happened. The mother was up a little further, and this is at the Festival of Foods in Harrison City, mind you. So if you've been there and you can picture this with me, feel free. I'm walking through. I'm heading over to like the oranges and apples, I think. And there's a family on my left. And as I walked forward this way, they're walking that way. And out of nowhere, now the three boys, there's three boys, a father and a mother. Now the mother was up ahead. The father was in between and the boys were behind. Out of nowhere, snap, he turned around. And he came up to one of his sons and he pointed his finger right in his face. And he just started yelling. Immediately, I turned my head because I didn't know what to think. I turned my head and I looked, and he was like this. I was like, oh, man, I better stop just in case he, you know, rears back. Step in, you know what I'm saying? No, just kidding. He got so mad at his son, he lost it. He finally came to, and his kid was just, oh, what am I going to do? And he kind of turned around and walked away, and it just threw me back. I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of kept on my way, but it kind of did something, you know, things like that happen. A couple days later, I'm at a gas station. I'm pumping the gas in my car, and I've noticed, actually, I just thought of this. Why is it that you don't have the little clip that holds the handle? Like three or four of the gas stations I've gone to, I've said, come on, oh, man, I had to wash my windshield. And then I had to, anyways, I was at the gas station pumping the gas, and I'm sitting there, I'm pumping the gas, and, of course, the little lever doesn't work. So I keep going. And out of nowhere, a woman, a car on the other island, a little bit ahead of me, starts yelling at her daughter. Just screaming. She scared me. You know, I don't get scared too easily. But, I mean, the pitch of her voice and the tone was just, bam, just like smacking me in the face. So I didn't hear much of what she said. I really couldn't understand it. And I just stopped and thought, man, what in the world? As I've driven through Penn Township, Trafford, Jeanette, and other places, I've noticed some people walking on the street. And I know you probably have too. And I don't mean to stereotype. That's not what I'm doing. But it looks like they have a need, okay? Whether or not, whatever their situation in life might be, either they're homeless or poor or strung out on drugs, they just have this look. I've seen it a number of times. These people have need. All around us, people have needs. And so I began to think and I began to ponder, what is it that's going to reach these people? And now the number one Sunday school answer is Jesus. And that's true. Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. But let's take a step aside for a second. Let's look at it from a different mindset. What do we believe can help our society? The non-Christians are going to say our government, our policies, our community legislation, all those kinds of things. Okay. They're the things that we put time and effort into voting for people to step up and help our community, correct? So I began to ponder these things. And I've asked myself, what's it going to take? Okay, what's it going to take for these, the society, the government aspect of our society, what is it going to take for the people that I've described to you earlier to lose their anger, their bitterness, their addictions and pain that exist in their life? You know, what's it going to take? Can social and economical leaders in society make the difference? I've realized that they cannot. They can only rearrange the yard markers on the playing field of life. Okay? They can only rearrange certain things. When you look at it now, sometimes one-on-one, it can occur. But I'm talking on a broader scale. Okay? The organizations of this. Can they make... All they can do is rearrange things to help people get better. Okay? They can't necessarily solve the problem. They cannot change the human heart or a wounded soul. They can't produce reconciliation or peace, and certainly cannot solve the core problem of the lost state of humankind. So what do they have to offer? Let's think about what they have to offer. Businessmen, they can provide the sorely needed job. Wise educators, they can teach useful knowledge of the modification. Advanced psychologists can aid self-understanding. All of this is good, but again, can any of it truly transform the human heart? I believe that only one power exists on this sorry planet that can do this. Only one power. And it's the power of the love of Jesus Christ. The love that conquers sin and wipes out shame and heals wounds and reconciles enemies and patches broken dreams and ultimately changes the world one life at a time. And what grips my heart every day is the knowledge that the radical message of that transforming love has been given to you and to me, the local church. It's been given to us. And that means that in a very real way, the future of this world rests in the hands of local congregations such as yourself and such as mine. It's been given to us. So we've got to understand, the local church is the hope of the world. We've been given an opportunity. We've been given a mandate by God Himself. Now, where does this mandate come from? Well, you can kind of think of it in a couple different ways. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to now look at our passage of Scripture. And the meat of what we want to look at and discuss and understand today. But to do that, I got to start in a different place. Now you've opened your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're looking at verses 42 through 47. And that has just occurred just after Pentecost. Okay? Pentecost has come, and the power of the Holy Spirit has fallen on the disciples. To understand that, though, we need to go a little bit further back. So let's look into the Gospels, okay? Let's look at Jesus Christ and His life. Jesus came into the world to give His life. He went to the cross. He died. He was buried. And He rose again. He died so that you and I might understand and accept the free gift of forgiveness. He shed His blood for you and for me for forgiveness. He was buried, but then He rose again. He rose again so that He might conquer this thing of death. So that when you and I die, we understand that the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So everyone in this room is going to die, and then we will be judged. But the sting of death is gone, because we can live forever with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we have committed our life to Him and are following Him, have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. And so, Jesus did that, but just before He left, He didn't just take off and leave things the way they were. He showed up to His disciples one last time, or a few times. And in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we see the call of the Great Commission. And that is just before Jesus passes into heaven. He ascends into heaven. And He talks to His disciples and He says, when the power of the Holy Spirit will come on you, you will be My disciples and you will go into all the nations. Now, mind you, I'm paraphrasing. You're going to all the nations. And you're going to preach the gospel. And you're going to win the lost. And you're going to disciple them. And you will be known all over. And it's interesting because Jesus kind of does a little bit of forecasting to possibly this point in time in history. throughout the whole nations. We're still working. Our denomination is still at work to get the gospel into unknown people groups. We're still doing it. Okay? We're still fulfilling, trying to fulfill the Great Commission. But on that day, He called the disciples to that. And so, they understood that, but He said one thing. Wait until the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then go. Okay? So then we go into Acts. We finish up the Gospels. We walk into Acts. We see chapter 1. We go into chapter 2. And the day of Pentecost comes. And the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples. And the apostles. It falls on them. And all of a sudden they begin to speak in tongues. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the people around them thought they were drunk. If you read it, it's interesting. The people who see what happened, they think, these guys are nuts. They're drunk. Look at them. They're all going, you know, talking in weird languages and stuff like that. And finally, Peter had had enough. So at the beginning of chapter 2, Peter steps up into a crowd of thousands upon thousands of Jewish people. He presents the gospel. But he presents it in a way that I don't know if we would be, many people would be willing to do it this way today. He basically stands up in front of this Jewish crowd and he tells them that they're murderers. You just killed Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He rose again. And now I'm here to tell you what you've done. It's kind of interesting if you think of the conflict that's going on and the battle that's happening. And Peter just stands up and he kind of lets them have it. Tells them the truth. And on that day, 3,000 people turn their life over to Christ. And that puts us to where we are in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It tells us that these are the fellowship of the believers. That this is the start of the church as a whole. Now, the church is not a building. The church is you and it is me. We are the church of Christ. We are the body of believers that go forward. This building is beautiful. But one day it will burn. It will go away. We are the church. And we are the ones that will continue on moving throughout history. And it's interesting why God has put me here in Penn Township at this particular time in history. It's interesting to start looking at things through that framework. The history of time and where we're going. Why the Lord has you all here today. Why? And at this point in history. What for? I don't know fully. But we must obey His commands. We must obey what He's called us to do. And that is to go out and preach the gospel to all who will listen. And now, let's look at this passage of Scripture. Okay, so we know what's gone on before. We come down to the point where here's what they're about. Here's what the local church is all about. And here's what I believe the local church should always be about. Okay? For Penn Township, in the vision that God has given to myself and to the members of our launch team thus far, this is what we're about. This passage of Scripture is what we are all about. Actually, I just want to pause. That's my launch team in the back row. There's Dorothy and Rachel and Adam and Jennifer and Jonah. Caleb. And Jonah's out about. Okay. They're back there. We want to say hi to you guys. You know, you guys know all the Lisbon. So I am just so thankful to the Lord for these people. And I am excited to watch God do more and more unbelievable things and bring new people in and just start this movement, because I am excited. There is so many cool things that God has done already. If I had time, I'd tell you. But sometimes I do that. I tend to walk out. Well, wait. Come back. Come on. Let's get back to what we're about. I tend to go off track. So anyways, let's look back into the passage of Scripture. Verse 42. Let me read it a little bit for you again. Let me read through it one more time. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As we look deeper into this passage, I realize something that is very important. The early church was committed. They were a committed movement of people. They didn't waver. And as we go through this, you'll understand why. They're committed to, I believe, three things. One, to the essentials of the faith. Two, to one another. And three, to the Lord. Let's look at the essentials of the faith. Let's just break it down a little bit. In verses 42 and 43, we see these mapped out for us. Number one, the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Word. This early church was devoted and committed to the teachings of Christ. We as a church, worldwide, if we are the hope of the world, we must be devoted to the Word of God. We must find its truth, and we must find the validity for what we do from God's Word. For He can speak to us through the Word, and He can teach us and guide us through the Word. That's number one. The early church was committed to that. I'm committed to that. And my prayer for you is that you all are committed to the teachings of Christ and the Word of God, number one. Second, fellowship. Now, in today's time, I've heard people say before, back home, that I want my church to be all about fellowship. We've got to have the fellowship. We've got to have fun. This is a place to have fun and to enjoy ourselves and enjoy one another. Yada, yada, yada. I'll tell you what. We need to have fun. We need to enjoy each other. But the fellowship that's being talked about here is about worship. It's about coming together and wanting to get together to worship God. And that is based on the teachings of Christ and the teachings out of the Word. What binds us together more than the Lord? Anything? No? Okay. Just making sure. No. Nothing can bind us together better than Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord. He's the one who brings us together. So fellowship and worship are combined in this passage based on the teachings of Christ and the Word of God. Third, they broke bread together. And this basically means communion. And as I looked at this, I thought to myself, how cool would it have been to be one of the apostles and stand up in front of the small group of people that you have and be able to teach them what the breaking of the bread and the cup really means. Because just a short while ago, they were in the upper room with Christ when He taught them. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be awesome. Just to be able to all of a sudden take what you've learned in that experience and share it with others. So they taught the breaking of bread and communion, and they made it one of their essentials. They made sure they broke bread together. Fourth, prayer. Now, prayer always needs to be number one, but it's interesting when you look at this. I believe that the prayer aspect of this portion of Scripture means that when they were teaching the teachings of Christ and when they devoted themselves to that, when they fellowshiped together in worship, and when they broke bread together, and the last one is the miraculous signs and healings, okay? That's another part of the essentials that they were committed to. Prayer was interwoven through the whole thing. So, rather than put prayer in a number list, 1, 2, 3, 4, really it should be on the side with the other, and it's just, okay, you understand what I'm saying? The prayer aspect of the local church envelops everything. It goes through every part of what we're about. So prayer is there. And then the last is the wonders and miraculous signs. And I put this on here because it's kind of like healing. It is healing in that time. If you look at chapter 3, Peter goes out and immediately heals a man after this portion of Scripture. What was it, or what would it have taken for a Jewish person to accept the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, rather than a revelation from Jesus to himself? You know what I'm saying? Like if you walked up to him and talked to him. And if they're walking down the street, what do you think it could take? Healing. Many times in the Gospels we see Jesus was healing. And people around were probably watching and understanding what was happening. And to understand that Jesus was telling the truth and that he wasn't lying or anything like that, I believe that the healing was used as an opportunity for someone who didn't know about him to say, hey, he's right. There's something about this. Something here is true. I don't think somebody's arm could just grow out of his body. There's something about what's going on here. Or that man who was lame and blind his whole life, all of a sudden is up and walking and screaming and jumping and singing about Jesus. And man, there's got to be something about it. So the healing aspect was used to provide the truth of what was happening at that time. And today I've wondered, why don't we see more of that? And to be honest with you, I kind of believe that we've kind of lost it. You know, we've had so much opportunity to talk about Jesus and all these kinds of things that so many people, if you even say Jesus or God, it's kind of a buzzword. They're like, either don't talk to me or yeah, I want to talk to you about it. It's very yes, no, cut or dry. And today, we don't see as many of the miraculous healings that we did before. Because really, we've been given the revelation, and that's why we are here. That's why we as a local church are here. So those are the essentials of the faith that the local church was committed to. Second, they were committed to one another. Now these people, when they met together, and this is found in verses 44 through 47. When they met together, they became one. They had a commonality that was unlike anybody else's. They had one heart. They had one mind. And they had one vision. And that was to reach as many as possible with the love of Christ. They had a commonality. They were together. They were focused with one another. I ask the question, are we of that same commonality? Is there a likeness of mind and spirit at Norman Alliance Church? See, that's a question I'm going to have to continually ask about Penn Township. Is there a commonality? Are we all on the same page? Just a question. Second part of this, they gave to all who had need. These people knew what it was about. They understand that that Jesus saves and that people are in need, and they gave everything, all their possessions, so that those who had a need would no longer have a need. It's interesting, I cross-reference this verse with four different verses in the New Testament. Matthew 19:21, Jesus was talking. He says, if you want to be perfect, or he says, do you want to be perfect? Sell everything you have and give it all to the poor. If you want to be perfect. The early church understood that. Luke 12:33 and 18:22. Do you want to have treasure in heaven? Then sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. In one of those passages, Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler who came and asked him what he needed to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told him, sell everything you got. Give it all to the poor. And then when you're done doing that, come back and follow me. And we, as we read that, if for those of you who know the passage, those of you who don't know that passage, turns out he didn't do it. He couldn't give up his possessions. He couldn't get away from it. Okay? Jesus says, if you want treasures in heaven, sell everything you have and give to the poor. Acts 4:34 and 35. It talks about in turn that no one had a need. So it turns out a few chapters down, you start to realize that since all these people in this movement were working together and giving to each other and taking care of the needs that one another had, that it turns out that in turn no one had a need. All the needs were being fulfilled and met. So if it ever came up, it was instantly filled. Another need came up, filled. Just kind of like that. So there never really was a need. Everything was always being taken care of. Finally, Acts 6, chapter 6, verse 1. We see a ministry to Jewish widows beginning. What had happened was some of the Jewish widows, Mosaic Jewish widows, were not being taken care of. And so the apostles decided, hey, it's time for us to pick up the slack. And so they started to care for these women. But it's interesting how they did it. This is something that I like. In the sixth chapter, we see that the apostles decided to delegate this ministry to other apostles who could take over. So in other words, it's like Peter was thinking, you know, and the guys were just thinking, we've been called to preach the gospel. You know, we have got to make sure that we do what we've been called to do. But these people have a need. So let's call for us seven disciples who will fit this need. And we'll empower them to go forward and do this ministry so that we can continue on, but yet we've taken care of the need. So it's kind of neat. We see that the delegations of ministry kind of begin. And to be honest with you, as a pastor, I enjoy that. It's awesome to be able to delegate. Sometimes you need to do it more. But anyway, third part of this is that they met together. There's a priority that they met together. Okay, not only in worship, in fellowship of worship, but in each other's homes. And to spend quality time together so that the oneness of heart and the oneness of mind and the oneness of spirit became solidified. The early church had to grasp. They knew and understood that this was necessary. if they were going to make any progress for the kingdom. The third point is that they were committed to the Lord. And it's interesting in verse 47, like the finishing part of that verse, they praise God. See, they weren't selfish or self-seeking, and they didn't want all the glory and the power to come upon themselves and say that we've done this awesome, amazing thing. They didn't want anything to do with that. They praised God. They gave Him the glory, and they followed Him. Ask us a question. I have to ask this of myself all the time as a pastor. Am I self-seeking? Am I the one who's trying to get in the way here? Am I the one who's trying to get the glory at all? Always upon, time after time, I have to pray and ask God to remove that so that He would get the glory. That's what this early church was all about. Praising God. And then we see the wonderful thing that the Lord added to their number daily. Daily. Does that get you excited? Do you wish? Man, daily. I really believe that we need to start paying attention to the signs of the times. Some things are happening in the Middle East and some things are going on. Now, I'm not going to be the speculator. I'm not going to come out here and tell you anything. But I want to say we need to be aware of what is happening. More than ever, it is the temperature is rising. We need to be urgent, okay? We need to be urgent about sharing our faith. We need to be urgent about witnessing to our communities. I have that feeling, guys, and I just want to share that with you. We have got to ask the Lord to empower us so that He can add to our number daily, so that we can become stronger, more unified, so that people with different gifts can go out and do ministry. It's exciting to see a movement, a body of believers moving. I'll tell you what, we can take over the community. We can take over this state and take over the world. So we need to be excited about that. That's something that needs to get us going. And today, I've been so thankful that I'm able to share this with you. Because to be honest, guys, it's the church or it's lights out. Because no other entity, no other program can change the human heart and the human soul the way Jesus Christ can. He's the only one who can do it. Amen. He is the only one who can change a life. And that needs to compel us. That needs to strengthen us. That needs to send us out so that we can be His hands and His feet and His eyes. Without churches so filled with the power of God that they can't help but spill goodness and peace and love and joy into the world. Guys, depravity will win the day. It will. Depravity will win the day. Evil will flood the world. And in a way, it already has happened. But it doesn't have to be that way. Is that cool? It doesn't have to be that way. At all. We can go out and we can make a difference. Strong, growing communities of faith can turn the tide of history. You have to believe that, friends. Can turn the tide of history. History. All of history. We can turn the tide. We can do it. And I'm going to tell you, don't bother to look anywhere else. Because the church is it. The local church is it. I'm so thankful that God has called me to Penn Township. I'm so thankful that I have an opportunity to serve Him in this manner. I'm so thankful that I can come and share with you the vision that we have. And our vision stems right from here. We're going to be a body of believers who are committed to the teaching of Christ. We're going to be committed to the fellowship and worship. We're going to be committed to the breaking of bread. We're going to be committed to prayer. We will be committed to seeing God work in wondrous and miraculous ways. We will be committed to one another. Okay? We will be committed to the Lord. Because if we're not, we're going to end up like a normal, apathetic church of the United States of America. And to be honest with you, we need to be sick of that. We have got to be sick of apathy. We have got to get out into those communities. We've got to get out and we've got to share the love of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, person down the road who passes away unexpectedly, and you have no idea, but you knew that they didn't know the Lord. We know their fate. That has got to grip our heart. and that has got to change our mind. It's got to grip our heart and change our mind. And I have asked every day that the Lord would do that in my own heart, in my own mind, because believe it or not, watch this. When I step down here, I'm just like you. I'm no different. And I just want to encourage us today to understand that we're in this together. Okay? We are in this together. And my prayer for you today, because I'm not gonna close this sermon or anything like this and say, I need you to come and be a part of Penn Township. Because you know what? The Lord already knows who's going to be and who isn't going to be. And to be honest with you, you know if you're supposed to be or not. Because God will have been calling you, prompting you, prodding you, making you not stop thinking about it. Okay? So I'm not going to say, hey, I need five people, raise your hand. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do is I'm going to encourage you. If you are one of those persons in this room who has been unable to get this out of your mind, or something in your heart is just drawing you to this area, I want you to come and talk to myself, or Adam, Jennifer, Rachel, Dorothy. Just come and say hi. Let us know who you are so we can pray for you. Okay? I'm not going to knock your door down. Just want to pray for you. Because I believe God's got to call us all to what we're doing. Second, if you're a person in this room, and I understand the situation here, I know you guys have been without a senior pastor, and I feel for you, okay? I am praying for you. Maybe you're sitting, you're just frustrated, you just, oh, you know, it's just been difficult. I understand, but I want you to know that you're still the hope of the world. And a body unified and together can still accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Don't give up, okay? Don't give up. Keep working hard. Keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord for vision. And just do it. You can do it. I'll be praying for you guys. But don't give up. Stay strong. Finish strong. And God is going to bring the man that He already knows who it is. Amen? He already knows who it is. Why worry about it? Let's get to work. And make it even easier for Him when He does come in. How's that sound? Okay. If there's any of you in this room, and this is the last person I want to address, that for the first time you've come to a service and all of a sudden you realize that you don't know who this Jesus is. Now, the luxury for me is I hardly know any of you. So I don't know. But for the first time today, you've got a heartbeat that's irregular, that something's happening inside, whether you be young or whether you be older. Middle age doesn't matter. But for the first time, you're hearing that Jesus is love and He loves you. And that the local church, this entity, is the hope of the whole world. And we can change the world one heart at a time. And you're wondering, what in the world is this? I want to pray for you. Okay? I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. And that He's calling you to accept Jesus as your Savior, the Savior of the world, who has now given us the strength and the empowerment to go out and to change the world. I want to pray for you. If that's what you need today, I'm going to ask you to do something. But first, let's just do this. Let's just pause. Let's bow our heads. Okay? Everybody just bow your head for a moment. And just let's stop. I need to stop. I just want, right now, the Holy Spirit to just speak to you. Allow the words to sink in and just, let's just focus on the Lord for a few moments. As our heads are bowed, and I'd ask that please everybody bow your head and close your eyes. You know what? If by chance this morning, what I just had mentioned is who you are. You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. you've never bowed your knee and just surrendered your life to Him. But today, for the very first time, you know you need Him. I ask you to do me a favor. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or even raise your hand or anything like that. All I want you to do is just look at me. Okay? And if you're looking at me, I'll know that you want to accept the Lord. Okay? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? It would be a shame if I not present this to you this morning and give you that opportunity. Okay? Anybody at all? All right. This morning, if you need prayer for just strength, and you need to be strengthened, I want you to do me a favor and raise your head and look at me. If there's anybody in this room that just needs strength, okay, I want to pray for you as well. Amen. Amen. All right, now I'm going to ask you to do one more thing that's a little out of the ordinary. I'm going to ask you to repeat, everybody in the room, okay? Unless you repeat a prayer after me. And this prayer is more or less like a renewal of a wedding vow to the Lord. A renewal of a vow to the Lord. Let's pray together. And repeat after me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge your presence today. Father, I know that you love me. Father, I know that you love this world. Dear Lord, empower, equip, and send out your servants. May we have the heart of Jesus Christ. And Father, strengthen me today. Give me a filling of your Holy Spirit. And send me out of here on fire for you. In your name. Amen. Following the service, I will be out in the back. I'd love to talk to you and just share with you what God is doing and just get to know you. Again, thank you for the opportunity I've had today to share the word with you. And again, I want to meet up with you guys. So we're going to close the service with the last song, Be Thou My Vision. It's important for us to remember that He is our vision. Okay? So let's focus on the words of this song as we sing together.
Please stand with me and we'll sing the first two verses of Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, true Son.
This morning, I just want to say, go forward from this place in the power of the Holy Spirit. May He guide you and direct you. And may He continually remind you that when you leave the doors of this building, you are entering into your mission field. So go in strength. And remember that the local church is the hope of the world. May He bless you.